Welcome to Edgemont Bible Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, where our mission is to glorify God by guiding people into a discipleship relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's listen in to today's message by our pastor, Douglas A. White.
Take out your Bibles, turn them to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. If you've got a sermon outline with you there, you can take that out as well. This morning, we're going to focus our attention on the fifth seal. The fifth seal. I just want to read the text that we'll be looking at. It's verse 9, 6, 9 through 11. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. All right. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this holy text. Thank you that you loved us enough to tell us what was going on and what's happening in your world. We thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ and for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for each other. Thank you for the way in which you've cared for and loved us. Thank you for the songs we got to sing this morning, Father. Songs of praise to you that remind us of your sovereignty, your creation. We recognize that we are only a part of that creation. We're not the center of everything. Thank you, Father, that Jesus Christ is the center of everything. So in here in this room, our hearts are submitted and bow to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for what you're going to do there. We pray for the servants of God who are bringing the Word of God all over the world and telling other people the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the people you're going to save. Thank you for the people you're going to minister to, that you're going to sanctify, the people that you're going to bring into a close personal relationship with you. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. We pray for our brothers and sisters who are preaching the word all over Fairview Heights, all over Belleville, the whole old Metro East, Father. We pray that you'd empower them with the Spirit of God to speak the truth, to speak it faithfully, and I want to thank you for that again. Thank you for the way you've watched over each of us and given us just a good life with you. Father, I pray for those who have suffered loss just now. Thank you for them, and thank you for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for their loved ones' faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you that you have provided a place indeed for us to be with you forever. Thank you that you have cared for all things, and thank you that you know us, you know our pain, for the Lord Jesus Christ also felt sorrow. He knows what it is to feel the sorrow of loss. Thank you so much that he is the one who is ministering to us just now. Thank you for his prayers that are going out for us in our struggles, in our battles, and the things that we're working with. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, for the peace of Jerusalem. We ask that you would bring peace to that city, for we know when the peace of that city comes, that indeed the Lord Jesus Christ will soon be here. Thank you for what you're going to do as you restore this whole world in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I want to just remind you the first six seals are happening during the first 3.5 years. So as we're talking about these 6 years, we are talking about a 7-year tribulation. We're talking about Daniel's 70th week that is being fulfilled with the taking of these seals and opening them up. That's when the whole thing begins. And with those seals happening, some of the things happen during the first 3.5 years. Then a significant event happens in the middle of that tribulation. And then there are more things that happen even more intensely in the second 3.5 years. We're right now looking at the first 6 seals. Now, there's something I do think, and I'm grateful for people who give me feedback on messages. I honestly wish we could not do it this way, but instead have a good conversation with each other over it. We could say something and say, okay, tell me what you're thinking about that. That's why I like Sunday school so good. You do get a chance in Sunday school to interact with each other and to let your mind wander a little more into areas maybe you didn't get to before. These are tougher times because it's just me saying something. And I don't know whether you're receiving it, you're not receiving it, what the Holy Spirit's doing with you. I'm not dumb. I know that when we're in these situations like this, the Spirit of God speaks to people's hearts. And you may, during this message, take off on another whole path. I know that the Spirit of God is going to speak to you and take you someplace that you didn't know that was going on before. Maybe something that's said inspires something, and you're going to do that. I hope it's not about what your vacation is going to be next summer, or you know, what you hope to have for lunch, or wondering why does he speak that way. I hope that you are just letting the Spirit of God speak to your heart, okay? I'd much rather we could have a conversation about it, because then maybe we could have some input with each other. Let me share this about you, because I'm glad I got feedback from a brother who let me know something. I want to make sure you understand what's going on this in heaven, okay? So I'm going to take you back a long way. If it's repetitive, I'm sorry it's repetitive, but sometimes that's a good way to keep it fresh in our mind. This whole thing, and I'm doing a timeline here, all the way to where the time that's going to be restored. The pulpit represents the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done. All right? So starting back here, when God created the heavens and the earth, there was heavens and earth. That's not just space and then this planet. That is the whole of what heaven is. That's all the creatures that are there. And I'm saying creatures because he created every one of them. More specifically, the Lord Jesus Christ created every one of them, and they are for him. Everybody with me? So whatever's there, and that includes what we call angels, which honestly the scriptures call Elohim. They're spirit beings without bodies, okay, that can take on shapes. They're shapeshifters, but once they take on a shape, if they stay in that shape, that's what they're going to be. Right? They can give up their first estate, if you would. Anyway, the ones we call angels are there. The four living beings are there. The spirits are there that are the seven spirits that go throughout all the earth and wander and see what's going on there. There's a whole group of them that have formed what God created as a divine council. That divine council rules the cosmos with him. They are angelic beings, Elohim, if you would, who are formed, who have are a divine council that rules with God. Sometimes they're called watchers. Sometimes they're just simply called spirits. You'll often hear them interacting with God as he says something to them, and they are determining what needs to be done on earth, and he's agreeing with them. That's divine council. That's what we call divine council. You could find the listed in Psalm 82, where he talks about how he's going to judge them one day because some of that divine council rebelled against Almighty God. Now, that divine council, some of them that rebelled against Almighty God, when the Tower of Babel took place, he gave the divine council one of those ethnic linguistic groups to rule. And God scattered the ethnic linguistic groups all over the world. And each one of them had a member of that divine council that was watching over them to teach them how to come back to God. But in their rebellion, they led a rebellion against Almighty God, and in doing so became to those nations not guides, but gods. And the nations made idols to them and all that kind of stuff that went on, all right? That group has been in charge of the earth since the day of the Tower of Babel. It's called the times of the Gentiles. Okay? That's what's been going on for a whole time. While that was going on, within the divine council has been the desire of the divine council to stop the unfaithful ones from what they're doing. And God has withheld them. Been telling them all along not to do it. Not yet. You can hear even Satan and Michael having a contention over the body of Moses. And he's having to say, the Lord rebuke you. Because he was not given permission at the time to do anything to Satan at all. But when you are unfolding this whole sealed scroll, what you are doing, what Jesus Christ is doing, is giving that faithful group permission now to retake the earth. Taking it back from the rebels. Everybody follow where I'm at? How many of you, that's such brand new stuff, you think I'm nuts? Okay, forget the last part. It's brand new stuff to you, okay? You understand where I'm coming from? This is tough stuff. I promise you, you didn't get this a lot of other places. And it's not because I'm some unique nothing. I'm not. I just know this is what the scriptures teach. So when you see the seals unfolded here, kids, what you're seeing is all that divine counsel that for years had wanted to have some sort of stop on the wickedness is going on. They're being released. Four of them were released last week. Four of them. One of those spirits went and he has the power to find a conqueror. And he himself is giving fear to people. He's got a bow, no arrows. And he's using fear, propaganda, all of that to put people in a place where they are now afraid of one another. The second one came out taking advantage of that fear and gave to them this taking away peace from the earth so that people now would give vent to that and would actually strike out against each other. They'd start killing each other. When you start killing each other, you're not having time to raise fruit. You're not having time to export food all over the place. What are you going to wind up with? Famine. So the third one comes out and it's famine. When the fourth one comes out, now you have people angry with each other. You have a conqueror going out there. You have people who are hungry. They're needing things. And now war is breaking out. And with that war is going to be death. And fourth of the population of the world is killed during that time. But with the fifth seal, there's not a spirit that goes out. What you're getting is an insight into what's been going on. Let me see if I can share with you what it is. So let's get this. He's opening it up, and it's martyrdom. Look what it says. He opened the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, we call that martyrdom. We call that martyrdom. They are martyred. The word martyr simply means a witness. But it came to mean a witness that dies. Someone who is testifying of their faith, but instead they're dying for their faith. They're being told to stop believing that, stop doing that, and that they're being killed because of that. Now, let me share this with you. When this seal opens, he's not trying to say for the first time martyrdom's taking place. Not at all. Because if I can say, here's where the book is written. Out here is where seal 5 is going to be open. But let me I say, from the time this book was written all the way up to this time, martyrdom has been going on. Thousands, millions have been killed for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow where I'm at? So when he's opening this seal, he's showing us they have died. Now look, if you're living up here and you're going through that death, and you believe that God loves you, and you believe that God has your good in mind all the time, when somebody comes in and arrests you and tells you stop believing that, and then kills them, what does that do to you? I can tell you, I had opportunity, and I'm grateful to all of you who sent me. When I went to India at one point, we went to a place where pastors were gathered who had lost much of their congregation, who had lost all their homes. They'd lost everything because there was a Hindu uprising that just went through and displaced people every place, martyred all kinds of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here were these men, broken, wondering, does God really love me? If God really loved me, would we do this? What has happened? I wish I could tell you some of the stories. It would break your heart. As you got to hear the stories of some who were just broken, and could hardly speak. And others, when they spoke, you could just see their teeth grit. You could see, if I could find that man, I would kill him. Now, that's what happens when martyrdom takes place. Everybody see where I'm at? So when this seal is opening and you're getting to look at, that's my brothers and sisters. I've wondered, what's going on with them? What happens to them? Did they die in vain? What happened? They were killed for their faith, and it was looks like just a political thing. That's all it was. It was just a political thing. Why did they do this? What was they murdered for? What happens to them? This seal is not about showing us martyrdom that takes place in the tribulation. It's showing us what has happened to all those people, if we could be here now where the seal is actually open, and look back, what's been going on to all those people? What you're getting to look at right here, brothers and sisters, is insight into heaven itself. This is something where you feel like you ought to take your shoes off. You know what I'm saying? You ought to make sure you got on the right sanctified clothes, because you're getting to see what's going on there, and here's what's happening. They're beneath the altar. Let's just look our way through this a little bit. Let's know this. There will be believers in Christ during the tribulation too. This is about what's happened to all the believers that will be from the time John wrote this to the time this seal is open, okay? The kingdom of God is the reunited, the believers in Christ will during the tribulation. We here at this church hold that they are not the church. Because what we're holding here is that sometime before this tribulation took place, the church was removed, was taken out of the way. Now, I've read several commentaries who say that's just not right. The church should have to go through a purifying and cleansing too, and the church is this and the church is that, and we shouldn't. Now, let me share this with you. If you're a 20th century American or a 21st century American, and you're looking back on that, you may think the church needs to be whooped. And here's why. The church doesn't look like it's got any power. The church doesn't look like it's standing for truth. The church doesn't look like a lot of things. And you might look back and say, we need to be spanked. Can I say, sir, you're absolutely correct. We do need to be spanked. And if you're alive and still writing it, life ain't over yet, bud. You may go through it even yet. You should hope that God counts you worthy enough to go through it. You follow where we're at? So I've read some commentaries that say, no, the church is going to go through it. It just wouldn't be right for God to say, I'm just going to pamper you little kids and take you someplace safe. Can I tell you, hasn't been much pampering going on. We may have an easy life now. We may have things good right now, but our heritage is not that way. A lot of blood has been shed. Some just because somebody took the Bible and put it in English. This is about all the people who have died, and here's what they're doing. But I want you to, let me just say this again. There will also be people saved during the tribulation. We're calling them, for lack of better name, tribulation saints. They're born again during that period of time. The church, we believe, will have been gone. It's going through its own judgment in heaven. But if you could, let's watch this. During this same period of time, there will be the restoration of Israel. Israel was promised a national restoration. That means that Israel, the nation, and here again, this is controversial again because some people believe that the church has replaced Israel. No, it has not. It can't. God's got a promise that he made, and he's got to keep that promise. So Israel is still there. Kids, there will be believers during the tribulation. There will be Israel restored during the tribulation. That's what most of this is about. You can't have martyrdom if you don't have believers. You follow that? You've got to have believers in order to have martyrdom. So what has God promised? One, that there will be Gentiles and Jews saved during the tribulation. Two, his promise was that Israel would be, as a nation, restored to the land and restored to what it has coming. Restored to all those promises, and they are going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just go points 2A here. Israel, by the judgment of God, is now spread all over the world. But God is going to bring them back to the promised land, first for judgment, then for restoration. Ezekiel 26, some of you have probably been over to our mural over in the glory room, and you've recognized that on the mural, you had a timeline running there that's Israel, and it's all one big broad line that goes to Israel, and then all of a sudden it explodes, and it's now in little tiny dots all over. Thank you, Micah Zach, you pictured that very well. Tiny little dots that flow over, and then you see all those tiny little dots coming back together again and congregating back here. That was about the restoration of Israel. That was the way he depicted artistically for us. We had a band of a nation that was together that exploded. And at 136 AD, people are all over the place, but they're coming back again. God promised it in Ezekiel 26 and again in Ezekiel 36. With 26, he said, I'm bringing you back to the land to have you pass under the rod. I'm going to punish you there for what things you've done. What I'm going to do is bring you to faith in Christ. In Ezekiel 36, he says, now I'm going to restore you as the nation who believes in me. I'm going to show you the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll look upon him whom they have pierced, and they'll follow the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So there was that national one that was given there. Israel will believe in Jesus as the Messiah, and the new covenant then will be fully realized, and they'll be restored inhabitants of the everlasting kingdom on earth. Now, I want to make sure that you're staying with me on this, so turn just for a moment to Jeremiah 31, 31. Jeremiah 31, 31. Jeremiah 31, 31. Right. He says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with who? House of Israel and the house of Judah. All right. So there are, as he says here, two houses. There's Israel. That was the 10 tribes that went north, and we call lost tribes. They are not lost tribes. God knows exactly who they are, where they are. Then you had the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, that were united under Judah. So he's saying, I'm bringing those two houses back together again, and I'm going to make a covenant with them again. In other words, I'm making a covenant with Israel. That's the two houses. All right, let's go back and look at this again. Then he says, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. So he made a covenant with them at Mount Sinai, and at Mount Sinai they said, we will do whatever you say. And it wasn't hardly any time before they broke that covenant. Didn't do what he said, all right? Verse 33, but this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Now notice, he's got them, house of Israel and the house of Judah. Now he's brought them back together again as one house, the house of Israel. Okay? I will make that with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I'll remember no more. That's what he's going to do. When's he going to do it? When he's got them all back and restored at the time of the tribulation. They are going to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see how in just for a moment. But I want you to look at this, verse 35. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day and the ordinances of moon and the stars for a light by night. By the way, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. He's just identifying himself here. Everybody follow that? He's just saying, look, do you see the sun? That's me. You see the moon? That's me. You see the tides? That's me. You see how the sea is restless? That's me. I did all this. I made it all. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, if that stops, if you don't see the sun, you don't see the moon, you don't see the seas, if that stops, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. And thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done. So look at this. Every time you see that sunrise come up, you say, hallelujah, God's faithful to Israel. Now, you may not like Israel. You may not agree with the politics of Israel. That's all right. They're not yours. They belong to somebody else. Okay? And he says, this is what I'm going to do. If the sun stops, I'm through with them. Moon stops, I'm through with them. Sea stops, I'm through with them. Did it stop? No. You saw it, man, look at the sunlight all around us today. Hallelujah, God's faithful to Israel. And you can say, yep, they're back in that land again, so we must be someplace, yeah. We must be right near the end because they are back in that land. Kids, you understand that's why we believe we're close to the end? It's not about the events we're seeing taken around us. It's Israel. That's why we think we're near the end. Look, Israel comes to be a nation in 1948, not 1620, not 1535, not 1517. You understand where I'm coming from? By 136 AD, they're not there anymore except by little remnants here and there. But 1948, can you see the little speckles coming back together again? One place right here. Back in one place. Passing under the rod, going under the judgment right now. When that seal opens, he lets us know there could be some martyrs in this group. Can't be martyrs if you're not believers. All right? Now watch. Let me go back to 6 a minute and tell you why I just said what I said. Here, it says that they were under the altar, the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? That means they're praying. That tells me which altar it is they're under. They're not under the altar of sacrifice. That one's done. But they are under the altar of incense, because that's where the prayers of saints are made. You follow that? That's where the prayers of saints are. That's what the whole incense thing was about. It's the prayers of the saints. So they're under there saying, how long? It's been since John wrote that book that thousands, millions of us have been dead and have been killed by these people. How long before you take care of this? This has gone on now for about 2,000 years. When will you avenge our blood? That's what they're praying. Now watch what God's answer to that prayer was. He says, then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. So wait a minute, there's some more to die. We're over here. We're looking back on all that have died, and we're hearing their prayer. We're hearing what God said. Take a white robe and rest. Take a white robe and rest. Until the others die the same way you did. And that's what happens in the tribulation. Is that, everybody see where we're coming from on that? All right. So, the gospel of the kingdom has to be preached in all the world. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Then comes the end. God will again pour out his spirit on all flesh, especially Israel. So for this, I'd like for you to turn with me to Joel chapter 2. I hope I'm not making this confusing because it just sounded like I did. Okay, Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. I'll just pick up verse 25 first. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you. My people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. So what's he saying here? I'm going to bring you back. And when I've got you all back, know this, that when I get you all together again, you're never going to be put to shame again. I've had you in shame now for 2,000 years. You're never going to be in shame again once I get you back. Now watch what he said. Verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So the Jewish people are going to be prophets. Sons and daughters are prophesying. Your old men, Jewish people, shall dream dreams. Your young men, Jewish people, shall see visions while the Spirit of God is poured out on all flesh. Now watch. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now watch what we just said. In this, now I'm back to the timeline where this is the 7 years. And we've just had four of these seals open. And when number five's open, we've seen all the people who died before the tribulation crying out to God, how long before you avenge us? And he's telling them, stop here and wait until the rest get killed too. So he's telling them there's a group of people ahead out here that are going to be dying too. Somewhere along the way, these people had to come to know Jesus Christ. They had to come see who he was. They had to be saved somewhere along the way. How does he do it? Well, number one, I will pour out my flesh on all people. So he pours out his flesh on all people. Number two, go with me to the second page of your outline there. We'll pick up on that. Chapter 7 of Revelation. Revelation 7. How will all unbelieving Israel, and believe me, they are unbelieving right now. That's why they're passing under the rod. They still have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. They still have not believed even in God. There are many atheists among the Jewish people right now. There are many people who don't want anything to do with God. They don't want anything to do with the Hasidic Jews or anything that sounds like that. They're mad at God. They think God did them badly. They think that God was not good. So many of them just said, since that's what he says, we don't even believe in him anymore. We don't acknowledge a God. But it's going to be hard to see how that group is going to in any way come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's because it's a supernatural event that's taking place, not a natural one. First, he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. You say, but wait a minute. We say that's what Pentecost was. He said this is like that which took place. At Pentecost, you saw the pouring out. He said it's like that. But the sun, the moon, the stars, all of that did not happen. That tells me there's another time where this thing is going to happen. All right? How's he going to do it? Chapter 7. After these things. Now, let me just remind you once again. Let me get my screens up, all right? Screens up here. We have been watching this screen that has been telling us all about the seals. And we've come to this screen right here where we're on seal 5. We just saw that there's going to be some people killed during this whole thing. There's people that have already been killed for the faith. Now there's going to be some more people killed. Screen off. How do they get to be believers? Screen on. That's the after this. Now he's going to go back and tell us how they got to be believers. He's going to go back to the beginning on this and tell us how did they get to be believers. Here, he showed us a whole lot of things that were going on. Let's take up 2 years of the 3.5 years. I don't know. That's what it was. And that screen is off. After this, another screen comes on. It's the sealing of 144,000. Let's take a look at it. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Then it gives us the names of the tribes here. Now, let me take you on the rabbit trails here. Number one, I want you to look at the role the angels play in the natural world. the roles the angels play in the natural world. The angels are holding the winds. In our natural way of looking things, there is no way spirit beings are going to be holding winds. Follow that? That's not what the Bible says. We have come to be scientists of scientism, not scientists of truth. We are holding that if it wears a white coat, it's telling the truth. No, it's not. If it's wearing a white coat, it has faith just like everybody else does. And it's believing a system that it has to believe to keep up the narrative it has to tell. The scriptures tell us that the spiritual world has a lot to do with the material world. We're not Gnostics, kid. We don't divide up the world into the material world and the spiritual world. No, that isn't the way the Bible does it. The Bible has them together. You are dust first with wind blown into you. You are a spirit being with a body, not a body that has a spirit. You are a spirit. The reason you're alive is because you're a spirit being that connected you with God Almighty, who gave the same wind to all the creatures around here. Remember, it was the Holy Spirit that was hovering over everything to give it life. We've divided our world out to where they're not connected. Yes, they are. And it's the spirits who are holding back the winds and harming the trees. That's going to do a damage to the earth. In other words, they're going to make the earth unlivable. It's going to be so hard to live on the face of this planet, and that's why it's still a judgment of God. You've had all these things happening up to here, and now these 144,000 are going to be sealed. Let's take a look at one other thing about this. I want you to see something else. Because it says four corners of the earth does not mean the earth is flat, okay? It doesn't mean the earth is flat. It's talking about the directions of the compass. North, south, east, west, they're holding them all back. You don't have any flow of the wind. I was surprised reading some commentaries where it said, clear evidence for the flatness of the earth. Okay, I'll just say, without going into any defense or anything, no, it isn't. Okay, now let's move on. It also says this, that there's another angel that's ascending. Now, get the picture. What did I tell you when we started this? The other unfaithful angels have been in charge of the earth since the Tower of Babel. It's called the times of the Gentiles. The other angels have been questioning God, why are you not judging them? Why have you not judged them for what they're doing? They're making a mess of everything. He's now opened seals and turned them loose. These are now doing what God's judgments are on the unfaithful, both people and spirits. There is a spiritual war going on here. Can you see it? This is a supernatural thing that's taking place here, kids. These are angels that are involved with this. This is not just people saying, yeah, I think I'll believe. No, he's taken 144,000 Jewish people that he has selected himself. He has chosen himself. There are no 10 lost tribes to him. He knows exactly where they are. And he's sealing them so that they will be evangelists and witnesses for him on this planet. Flesh, the Spirit poured out on all flesh. 144,000 witnesses now. Power-filled evangelists who are sealed with the seal of God, who are working now to get that gospel out to the Jewish people and to the rest of the world. That's what they do. You say, why do you think that? Glad you asked that. Let's go to verse 9. Here, after he's got them all sealed, they're all done. He's telling us who they were. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands, and crying out loud, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne. Well, I don't want to go any further than that. Let me stop right here. That's the multitude that believed because these 144,000 spoke. They got white robes, kids. Why would they have white robes? Martyrdom. This is where the after telling us that there's some who have to die yet in opening seal 5, now he shows us there are more who are going to die. 144,000 share the good news of Jesus Christ, and multitudes believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So that is supernatural, and the people are coming to know Christ because of their preaching. Let me go to now the second place. Go to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. How are people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ? 11. Okay. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod. Now this is John who's getting that reed, okay? The angel stood, saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple. Do not measure it, for it's been given to the Gentiles. And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months." That's 3.5 years, okay? Now, at the time he is speaking here, he's not speaking about the first, because that's not where they're having that's not where they're trampling down the city. It's when Antichrist sets himself up. That's when, from here to the end, the last 3.5 years, the last 42 months, that's when they're trampling down the city. How did they get to that place? All right, let's look here. 42, and I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days. Guess what that is? 42 months. So we come over here. They're ministering in the first 3.5. They're ministering in the first 3.5. The Gentiles are trampling down Israel or Jerusalem in the last 3.5. Everybody see where I'm coming from? I know this is getting confusing. I don't want to confuse you. I just want to make sure we're getting an idea, kind of a concept of what's going on here. Listen to what he says. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and strike the earth with all plagues, as is often desired. Now, that has caused people to want to say, that's got to be Moses and Elijah. Because that's the things that Moses and Elijah did. I don't know that they are human beings at all. I think they are there, but he says that they are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. Turn with me back to Zechariah 4. Zechariah 4. Zechariah 4:1. Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who's wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I said, "I'm looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, 7 lamps with 7 pipes to the 7 lamps. 2 olive trees are by it, and one at the right of the bowl and the other at its left." So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" The angel who talked with me answered and said, "Do you not know what these are?" I said, "No, my Lord." So he answered, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel, and you shall become a plain. He shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace and grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it, and you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you, who has despised the day of small things.' For these 7 rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth." So that was spirits, okay? So he says these 7 things that were standing before him were spirits. And they are, they're the ones that scan the whole earth. That's some of the same, spirits that we saw opening the first 4 seals. All right. Go on further. Then I answered and said to him, well, what are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand that's left? And I further answered and said to him, what are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? Then he answered, do you not know what these are? I said, no, my Lord. These are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. Okay? They're the olive trees. So the ones who show up on earth are these two. They are coming with the appearance of human beings. Matter of fact, they may even have actual human bodies. They almost have to because they're going to be killed. All right. Now, what I'm trying to say is, once again, this is heaven engaging itself in the things in earth. This is the faithful ones engaging themselves on things on earth to bring justice to us. This is where reconciliation is being done by the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And here's who he's turning loose on this earth. So these two olive trees are here in the first 3.5 years. So let's make a recap here. So Joel chapter 2 says that when he's gathered them all together, he's pouring out his spirit on all flesh. Israel's going to be testifying and prophesying. They have been transformed and changed. 144,000 evangelist witnesses have been ministering now, and they are teaching people over, and there's a multitude of people being saved. While in the meantime, in Jerusalem, you have two big witnesses that are doing some powerful stuff in that city. Stuff that Elijah did, stuff that Moses did that caused Israel to turn to the living God. You have supernatural things that are taking place that brings Israel back to the place where they're believing in God. And martyrdom is going to fall. Confusion. One more thing. All right. With that, I've got a spirit that has found a conqueror. And that spirit is bringing the conqueror up from the depths. And he's being introduced here in these first 3.5 years. He is bringing out a campaign of conquest and of martyrdom of all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's getting stronger and stronger and stronger until he comes to the holy city. And when he gets to the holy city, he declares himself to be God. He's the one that's going to kill these two olive branches. He's the one that's going to do it. Everybody with me okay so far? A lot of stuff, huh? Like drinking from a fire hose? Yeah, yeah. Well, swallow. Swallow. Take one more swallow. Nope. Martyrdom is believers being persecuted and killed. And people are going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ even after the church is gone. Some have said, well, once the Spirit is gone, once the church goes and the Spirit goes, then there won't be anybody else saved. Nothing can be further from the truth. The Spirit's not going anywhere, kids. The Spirit is here. How do you get rid of the omnipresent Spirit? You could only not be aware of him. That's the only thing that's going on. He's here. And he's going to be here during the tribulation. He's going to be doing a fantastic work during the tribulation. But more people are going to be killed and persecuted during that time. And Seal 5 shows us that. Seal 5 says that everybody that's been persecuted and killed up to this point is praying to God right now to be avenged. And God is saying to them, wear your robe, rest a while. I got more to kill yet. And those here that are going to be killed, especially after that second half, are going to be the ones that God is calling the ones who walk with him. All right. These are powerful times, kids. And once again, I'm going to say this. We believe we're closer to the end than ever before. But I know that something has to take place. I know there's still some things that have to be done. I don't know how long it would take to do them. But now's the time for us to be thinking very carefully, what am I doing to live for Christ? Am I understanding even this? Am I understanding that judgment is on its way? Do I understand that I'm living in the times like just before Noah and the flood? that I may be making fun of all those people who say, Jesus is coming into the world, I make fun of them. But it's still going to happen. Whether you make fun of them or you don't. Are you ready for it? Are you ready to meet with God? You say, well, they've been saying that last day stuff. Okay. If you don't want to believe any of the prophetic things, that's swell. But here's the deal. Are you in your last days? It really doesn't matter about the prophetic clock if you don't live to get there. You don't have any guarantee that you're going to live another week. Are you ready in your own last days to meet the Savior? That's the biggie, kids. You may not even understand all that. I don't know, the thief on the cross understood anything about Jerusalem, the temple. I don't know he had any of that knowledge. But I know this, because he said, you are Lord, he wound up in paradise with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the simple deal. To confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, to recognize he died on a cross in your place and was raised again the third day to give you a new life, you'll be saved. I'm not going to try and make it more complex than that. Well, he's paid for your sins. He's got that squared away. But he doesn't have your submission. He doesn't have your surrender. Take care of that. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for all that he's doing in us. I ask, Father, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, even in my stumbling, halting way of presenting this whole thing, you'll make that truth clear to people. Thank you that there is a time coming. Thank you that you do have a plan, that things are not in chaos, that you do have order. Things are not all messed up. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord, in Jesus' name. Speak to our hearts just now that we might do right by you. In Christ's name, amen. Well, God bless you in whatever you're doing for this day, for this week. Think over who you belong to. Think over that you're not really as sovereign as you might think. There might be someone who's a little more sovereign than you, like your Creator. The one who knit you, the one who gives you all of this to live in. Praise the Lord every day. Get up and give thanks for him. Thank you for living you, God. Thank you for the life that's before you. Thank you for opportunities given you to serve him. Don't forget the Lord Jesus Christ this week. Father, thank you so much for all that you're doing with us. Thank you for the way you're remaking us, reforming us into the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you praise for him today, Father. Thank you for what you're doing. We ask that you would minister to each of us just now. Thank you for the grace being given. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has encouraged you with today's message by Pastor White. Thank you for joining us at the Edgemont Bible Church. We'd love to have you visit us if you're ever in the area. For directions, more information, or to support the ministry of Edgemont Bible Church, please go to our website at edgemontbiblechurch.org. That's Edgemont Bible Church, all one word, .org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Edgemont Bible Church, where the Sunday morning message is broadcast live.